And then 2 Corinthians chapter 1, reading from verse 20 says, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you is in Christ, and hath anointed us, and hath anointed us is God, who hath also," I want you to notice this, "who hath also sealed us, and given us, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." Amen and amen. You may be seated. Some other verses that go along with that we didn't read this morning is John chapter 5, verse 24, which says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And in 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." And in John chapter 20, verse 31 says, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Amen. The subject or the title of my message this morning is one of the songs we sang this morning, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And the assurance of the believer that they are saved, even in the midst of dark times, troubles and trials and testing, is one of the blessings of the Word of God. You're not saved because you feel saved.
Amen.
Sure heard a lot of amens there, amen. You're not saved because you feel saved.
Amen.
You're saved by faith and by faith alone. By believing the gospel, by putting your faith and trust in Christ and believing on the name of Jesus, you are saved forever, amen. So my message this morning is three simple points that even all of us can understand. And it's first of all, blessed assurance is biblical.
Amen.
Amen. Simple as that. Blessed assurance is not only biblical, it's beneficial.
Right.
And blessed assurance is a battleground. So that's three points this morning that we can all understand. First of all, blessed assurance is biblical. Second, blessed assurance is beneficial. And thirdly, blessed assurance, or the assurance of the believer in Christ, is a battleground.
Amen.
So first of all, this morning, as we saw in the scriptures, the Bible teaches very clearly and very simply that you can know that you're saved.
Amen.
Now, how often have you come across someone on the doors, or maybe your family, your friends? "Well, no one can really know. Well, I hope to get to heaven. I hope so. I would like to think if I went to church and gave enough and quit kicking dogs and you know, and all that kind of stuff, I hope I'll get to heaven."
Amen.
Well, if you hope that way, you'll never get to heaven. Amen. You have to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection as the only and final substitute for your sins. And if you do that, you can be assured that God will keep his promise. You know, we live in an age and a time, and I realize we are getting election on right now, amen. There's all these things that they're promising. If you vote for us, we'll do this. If you vote for us, we'll, you know, those promises are not worth the paper they're written on.
Amen.
But God's promises you can depend on every single time.
Right.
So we're going to look this morning that the blessed assurance is biblical. Now, who can have blessed assurance? Now, there is a theology called universalism that says since Christ died for all, then all are saved. Whether or not you believe or not, he died for all, so all must be saved. No. You have to come to a time and a place in your life that you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That you ask him to save you. That you believe in the gospel. And those are the people who can have blessed assurance. I'd like to remind you this morning of Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, which says this: "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, And in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. This crowd did miracles. This crowd did many wonderful things in the name of Jesus. But the key problem they had is that they never knew Jesus as their personal Savior.
Amen.
You see, it doesn't, you know, when the Lord says, I never knew you, of course he knows everyone. He's God. Amen. But he never knew them in a personal relationship. Just like, for instance, I can say, do you know who the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom is? Well, I think it's Rishi Sunak for the moment. No, but do you know him? No, I don't know him. And there's many people who come to church who don't know God.
Right.
They don't know anything about him.
Amen.
They'll sing the songs, they'll listen to the preaching, they'll hear all these wonderful things, but they do not know God.
Amen.
So this morning, I'd like to ask you the question, do you know God? And more importantly, does he know you? In that experience, amen. You see, God invites all to the cross.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Amen.
I like to sing that song we sung a few weeks ago. There's room at the cross for you. Thank God, God invites all. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me.
Amen.
But not all come to the cross because of their evil sins and pride.
Yeah.
They say no to Jesus. God invites all. Some might even scoff at the idea of assurance. I've heard people say, well, if you believe in blessed assurance, it means you can sin and do whatever you like and still go to heaven. If you're truly saved, as we saw in that chapter in Matthew chapter 7, if you're truly saved, you're going to want to know the Lord. You're going to want to follow him. Amen. You're going to want to know what it is to pray and to know his word and be fed spiritually and to follow him. That's a biblical pattern, amen. We saw last week about the two blind men. The two blind men heard the gospel. They got their eyes healed. And what did they do? They started following Jesus. That's why we're here this morning, amen, to follow Jesus. You're not here to follow me. Amen. No, you're not here to follow me. You're not here to follow some man. You're here to follow Jesus. And he's the only one who's worthy to follow. If you follow me, you'll see all the flaws in me. Amen. If you follow any man, you will see the flaws in that man. But when you follow Jesus, you'll see no flaws. He is worthy and holy, and he'll never do you wrong. It's biblical to believe in eternal security. The Bible says, we saw in 2 Corinthians 1, when we believed, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And we were given the earnest of the Holy Spirit as proof of God's promise. Now, I don't know if you've ever bought a house. But when you buy a house, you put down a deposit. That used to be called the earnest money. That meant that you were serious about purchasing that house. When God saved you, he gave you the Holy Spirit as an earnest that one day he was going to take us to heaven to be with him, amen. It's biblical. And anything that's not biblical is not worth anything.
Amen.
Not only is salvation biblical, it's beneficial. It's beneficial to believe in eternal security. I have met people who 1 week they're saved and the next week they're lost. The 1 week they're saved, and the next week they're lost. And they're up and down all over the place. And the reason why is because they haven't got this doctrine down, amen? You see, eternal security is not about you. It's about the Lord, amen? It's not about how you feel. It's not about what you even do. It's about what you believe and who you trust. And it's beneficial. John chapter 10, verse 9 says this, I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly.
Amen.
I have had more life in Jesus than I ever had in the world.
Right.
I've had friends of mine who said to me, don't you miss going to the pub? Don't you miss going to parties and clowning around? Don't you miss all that life? And then I see them with vomit and lying in the gutter. And I say, boy, I really had a great time. That's a great time. I thank God for the life I have in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Which is not only life, it is abundant life. I wake up every morning knowing I'm going to heaven. Every morning, it doesn't matter if the sun's shining. It doesn't matter if there's money in my bank. It doesn't matter if my car works or doesn't work. I have eternal life. It's beneficial to believe in the doctrine of eternal security. You know, my wife Debbie sometimes comes up with some good things on occasion, more often than not. And I remember a few years ago, we dealt with a person who didn't believe in eternal security, and they thought that you could be lost at any moment. And if as a believer you sinned after you believed, you were damned forever and couldn't get saved. And my wife Debbie asked this very important question. It's a good question. Why would you want to believe that? Why would you not want to believe in eternal security? Why would you want your eternal destiny hanging on a thread of what you do or what you don't do? It's beneficial to trust the Lord rather than trust yourself.
Amen.
Let me tell you this morning, you will let yourself down time after time after time after time. But when you depend upon the Lord, He will never let you down. I was reading in my studies this week, the book of Nahum. One of my favorite books in the Old Testament, Nahum. Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good. A stronghold in a day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. The Lord is good.
Amen.
And not only is the Lord good, He's good to you.
Amen.
And He's good to me. How many times has the Lord been good to you when you didn't deserve it? The Bible says in the book of Romans, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You see, eternal security is beneficial because it gives you confidence.
Amen.
That no matter what, you are going to heaven and that you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember a few years ago, I went to Israel and I spent some time there, and we tried to do witnessing to some of the people there, and some of them were quite receptive. It was quite amazing. But you know the biggest problem I had with witnessing to people in Israel? You see, here in Scotland, people know that they are lost generally and don't have a relationship with God. But in Israel, they think because of the covenant of Abraham and the law, they were born with a relationship with God. That they were, because they're Jews and Israelites, they already have a relationship with God. But you see, they're the chosen. But the reality is, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter what tribe you come from, what nation you come from. All are lost in sin. And I would say to them, you need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ to have a relationship with Him. And they say, well, I already have a relationship with God. No, you don't. If you're not saved, you don't have a relationship with God. But if you are saved, you have an eternal relationship with God. It's beneficial. Here are some of the benefits. Romans 5:1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's a great benefit, amen? That's a great benefit. There are some things in life you have to add up the cons and the benefits, but with eternal life, there's no cons and only benefits. The con is those who don't want you to believe and eternal security. Paul is saying no matter what, you can have the benefit. Not only the benefit that we see of eternal securance, eternal security, but also the benefit that assures us salvation and that it motivates us to holiness. We read that scripture verse the other day there in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. It says, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Why should you live a holy Christian life? Because that's the life Jesus lives.
Amen.
That's where Jesus wants you to live, amen. Jesus does not want you to live in the stinkhole of this world.
Yes.
The sinful, dark place. That's not where Jesus wants you, amen.
Yes.
He wants you to walk in the light. because he is in the light. Amen. I'm amazed how people who walk away from God wonder why they never hear from God. Because they're walking in darkness. One of the benefits of eternal security is it motivates us to live a holy life. Not only that, the benefit of the motivation, but it also gives us the assurance that we can commit our lives for service to Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 says this, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I love that verse. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's God's plan, God's will for every single believer, to be steadfast in the word. Amen.
Amen.
Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord ought to not be something that we do as a rare thing, but as a normal thing. Normal to follow Jesus. We live in a time and an age which, if you follow Jesus, you're looked upon as peculiar. But for the Christian, following Jesus ought to be the normal thing. Amen? Just like when a baby's born, what do? They cry. And when a baby's born, they feed. And eventually they grow and they start to walk and run and grow. That's the same for you and I as Christians. When you're first saved, you cry. You cry out to God. Then you start to feed on the word. Then you start to walk. Then you start to run. And that's what motivates us, because that's something that is normal for the Christian. And then not only is eternal assurance biblical and beneficial, it's also a battleground. You know, there are so many people out there who will tell you that if you don't live right or righteously as they think, that you will lose your salvation, you will go to hell. It's a battleground. I've had people tell me right to my face, no one is saved right now, because you have to wait until the end where God judges if you've done enough to keep your salvation. If you think it's you that keeps you saved, then you think you're the one who saved you. We sing that song. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. You're not the one that saves you. Jesus is the only one that saves you. And the Bible says we are kept by the power of God. But we live in an age and time where people are coming with a different gospel. A different gospel. The devil of this world is working. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 says this, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the angels of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is of no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." There is different gospels going on in the world right now. There are other Jesuses in this world. There are other Bibles in this world. But there's only one true Jesus. Amen. There's only one true gospel. Amen. There's only one true salvation. Amen. And that's in his word, amen.
Amen.
It's a battlefield. Right. You know, if you go along to people and tell them, "I believe in eternal security," they will look at you funny. It's a battleground. It's a battleground because of our enemy. The devil hates eternal security of the believer. Amen.
Amen.
The devil can do nothing about your eternal security. He knows you're saved forever. But he can make your life miserable as a Christian so that you don't have the victory because you're walking by feelings instead of by faith. The devil knows you can't be unsaved. He knows that. I love that passage in the book of Acts and seven sons of Sceva, who went around saying, they saw what Paul did and others, and they went around casting out demons, devils. And they said, I adjure thee whom Paul preached to come out of him. And the devil said, Paul we know, Jesus we know, but who are you? And the Bible says they went out for the worse, amen. Amen. You know the devil knows you. Yep. Have you ever woke up and realized not only does God know you, the devil knows you. He knows you're saved. He knows you want to live right. Amen. And yet he tries his best to trip you up, to trap you, torment you, and test you. Why? Because he's our enemy.
Amen.
He's our enemy. Not only is there a battleground because of our enemy, it's a battleground because man always wants to exalt man. You see, when Cain and Abel brought an offering, Abel brought an offering of a sacrifice, shed blood sacrifice. But Cain brought an offering of his own works. And God refused Cain because the offering of Cain was about Cain.
That's right.
And I think, and I want you to catch this is very important. I think the reason why many people don't believe in eternal security is because they want to present themselves as a better Christian than you.
Right.
Well, I'm better than you. You just trust Jesus, but I'm a goody-goody. I live a clean life. I've heard people say this to me. I stopped sinning. I've had people write to my face and say, I no longer sin. I gave up sin years and years ago. And I say, well, there's a sin right there. According to the First John, you're a liar, amen? And the whole thing of holding fast to the end is about exalting man, that you have a part in salvation. That's very important. That's why it's a background, because salvation's not about man. It's about the Lamb. Not only is salvation a battleground because of our enemy, because man wants to exalt himself. Now, this is very important, but because of ecumenism. The religion wants you to keep working for your salvation and not depend on Jesus. We read that in our passage. Your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The gospel is simple.
Amen.
Here's a good question for you. Now, I was thinking about this the other day, and maybe you'll forgive me because I'm kind of strange, but I was thinking about this the other day, and you know there are all these different rabbit holes, conspiracy theories, and things that you can go down and get yourself trapped in, all right? And I was thinking to myself, what did Jesus say about all these things? When did Jesus talk about the flat earth? When did Jesus talk about the global earth? When did Jesus even talk about chemtrails? When did Jesus talk about the Illuminati? Well, you know, go down the list and you'll find that he didn't talk about any of them because he talked about the truth and the light. And the devil in religion doesn't mind you going down rabbit holes, trying to keep your salvation as long as it keeps you off the right path that leads unto life.
Amen.
Ecumenism wants all the churches to come together under one head, the Antichrist. Interesting thought I was talking about the other day with Debbie. You know, if we believe we're in the last days, and then you look at what's going on, we know we're in the last days.
Amen.
The Antichrist has to be alive now and active somewhere. Now, eeny, meeny, there's a lot of them you could pick, amen, that will be the Antichrist. You look at all the different candidates that are going on in the world. But we're to keep our path straight,
amen,
following Jesus.
Yeah.
We're to keep on the right path and the simplicity of the gospel. Because the Bible says, and we read in 2 Corinthians 11, for if he that cometh preaches another Jesus whom you have not received, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well be with him. For such are false apostles. There are false apostles out there.
Amen.
There are people out there walking around saying, well, I'm an apostle. You must be off of the old then, because to be an apostle, you have to see Jesus. You have to be baptized by John. Amen. That's what it says in the Bible. Well, I'm this, that, and the other. No. The simplicity of the gospel. The gospel is simple. Eternal security is simple. But the world wants you to make it difficult. I believe in eternal security, believer. Amen. I believe that once you get saved, you put all your faith and trust in Jesus, you're saved for all time and eternity. Amen. You're just as good as there right now. But your life as a Christian, if you walk with him, will be an abundant life. But it's a battleground. You know, there are many battles going on in this world today. And sometimes you have to choose your battles.
Amen.
You have to choose your battles. Going down rabbit holes and chasing this, that, and the other, that's not our battle. Our battle is the gospel.
Amen.
To get people saved.
Right.
To get them growing in grace. That's the, now you can go and fight all these different battles and chase this, that, and the other, but you're going to be ineffective. In fact, you're going to be put on a shelf. Our battle is to preach the gospel.
Amen.
To preach eternal security. To get people saved. But unfortunately, there's many Christians who've gone AWOL. They just won't fight that battle because they don't want to stand and be counted. We have a war going on in many different countries in the world, and all these people are gathering together for the one big battle. But the battle we have to fight is the battle for the word of God and believing it.
Yep.
So this morning, as I conclude this message, again, I'll ask you the question, do you know Jesus? Do you know what it is to be saved? If you are, have you realized you're saved for all time and eternity through the grace and the mercy of God? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Jesus all the day long. If you are sure of your salvation, that's what you should be doing this morning. Praising Jesus for the work he's done in your life. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can stand upon it. We can trust it. We have assurance, not because of anything we could do, but Lord, for everything you have done in providing salvation. Bless our time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.